You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let me pray and let's hop in to this month's word. Awesome. All right. Well, Father, I just thank you for every single person that's listening today. And I thank you that this is a word straight from your heart. It was not on my radar necessarily, but it was on yours. And I just thank you, Father, that you have insight, you have wisdom, you have encouragement, you have revelation for every single person that is watching today, Father. I thank you that it truly is a divine appointment. And I just yield. I yield my body, I yield my mind, I yield my mouth to you, Father. And I ask you to speak through me today. Use me however you want to use me. Use my life, use my testimonies, use any and everything that you have taught me, that you have walked me through, Father, to do what it is that I'm called to do in those that are connected to me today, Father. I thank you that the fivefold ministry is there to equip the saints for the work of their ministry. And Father, I thank you that you are growing us up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus. You are conforming us to the image of Jesus, to the image of love. And so, Father, I just declare that that grace is operating in my life at full force today, and that you are speaking, Holy Spirit, to each and every person that is watching, that is listening, while I'm talking, Father, because you know everything about everyone that's going to be tuning in, Father. You know the number of hairs on their head. You know what's going on in their lives. You know what their fears are, what their dreams are, what their desires are, what their hindrances are. You know, Father, where unbelief is hidden in their life. Father, you know how to encourage, how to strengthen. You just know it all. You know everything, Father. And so we just completely depend on you as we step into this prophetic broadcast today. And I thank you, Father, for the fruit that is going to come from it and each and every person that is here. And so I thank you in advance for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, you guys, I had something else kind of on my mind before I woke up this morning. And when I was in that little dreamy state, you know, you're not fully awake, you're not yet asleep or whatever, I heard the phrase very, very clearly, gift wrapped. And so the word for September is that word, gift wrapped. And as I got up this morning and just spent some time with the Lord, I really was asking him to really unpack that for me. There were actually three scriptures that immediately came to my mind about this word. And so we are going to be kind of downloading this prophetic word from the Lord real time, which is okay. The gift of prophecy works that way. So it's not a problem. I have been doing this long enough to know that my agenda and what I plan on is not always God's plan. And so we're just going to step into this. So I'm going to go ahead and read the three scriptures before I kind of get into the heart of the matter, so that we can get on page with God. Okay, so let's start first this morning with the first scripture that I felt like the Lord was highlighting to me, and it's from Ephesians chapter 1, and it is in the Passion Translation. Now, this is a scripture that I go to quite a bit. I feel like I've taught on it a lot, but it's a really, really powerful scripture, especially in the Passion Translation, which is where I'm going to be reading from this morning. It says this, it says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped in Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. So you can tell from this scripture why it would go along with the word for September, which is gift wrapped. Why? Because everything that heaven contains has already been lavished upon us as a gift. It says here, as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. So I want us to stop here for just a moment and recognize that there is nothing that heaven contains that the gospel has not already proclaimed belongs to you. And it belongs to you through, not by works, not by your own efforts, not through striving, but as a gift. And it is a gift. And I wanted to, while I was just reading this scripture, I felt like the Lord also wanted me to point you to a recent teaching that I have been engaging with by Chris Blackaby. It's called The Three Realms, and it's on YouTube. And you can Google that, and you can go watch Chris's teaching. It's a multiple part series. The first session in that series is just a really powerful presentation of the gospel that I feel like every believer, it's just so clear. And it really to me highlighted the nature of the giftedness of the gospel and how this is nothing that we earn, nothing that we strive for. And it's just a beautiful presentation of the gospel. So that's a powerful, but the majority of the teaching is really about three realms. And Chris talks about the natural realm. He talks about the physical realm as being kind of, the realm that we live in, obviously. Then he talks about the heavens, right? And how the heavens in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. And so he talks about the heavens is where the spirit realm is. It's the energetic realm. It's also a created realm. And that's obviously where angels are, where demons are. It's the heavens, right? It's not heaven, but it's the heavens. And then he talks about heaven. And he talks about that's the uncreated realm. That is where God lives. That's where we're seated in heavenly places. And he talks about the necessity of living from heaven. And so obviously I'm not going to reteach Chris's teaching right here today, but the Holy Spirit just brought it back up to me while I was reading the scripture. So I want to put it out there as kind of like an adjunct to this word, where you can go and I really feel like be encouraged, not only in the gospel, but an understanding of the three realms. Why? Because it's important for our lives to live from heaven and to understand that we are a physical being, yes, but we are first and foremost a spirit that's seated in heavenly places right now. And we have a soul, right? And that realm of the heavens is the realm of the soul, and the realm of the natural, the seen realm, is the realm of the body. So there's also, you know, the body, soul, and spirit that are described in that teaching. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. But because why? Everything that heaven contains, heaven, not the heavens, heaven contains, right? Where we are seated in heavenly places, where God reigns. It's an uncreated realm. Everything that is in that realm belongs to us by inheritance. It is a gift. And God lavished that upon us in Christ. And in fact, it also says here in this scripture that the Father sees us a certain way. He does not relate to us in our natural bodies. He does not relate to us. I mean, in a sense, to our souls. I mean, obviously the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, permeates our soul and animates our body. But we're tripart beings. And the thing is that God sees us the same way as Jesus. He sees us wrapped in Christ. He sees us hidden in Christ. We are, like I always say, like Jesus with a chalice suit on. And so having that understanding of our true identity is really, really important if we are going to walk through the seen realm and frankly deal with our soul life. If we are going to need to dominate and govern our soul life and govern our body from our spirit, from our union with Jesus. And so you can see how that term gift wrapped is very much applicable to the scripture, right? We are given everything that heaven contains as a gift. It's gift wrapped, if you will. And we are also wrapped in Christ, which is also a gift. We weren't wrapped in Christ because of our own righteousness or something that we did. We simply heard the good news and said, hey, okay, that's who I am. That's the new creation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for recreating me in Christ. Thank you for causing me to be co-crucified with Jesus before the foundation of the world, before I was born 2,000 years ago. I was mystically connected. Before time began, I was mystically connected in Christ. And, you know, if you keep reading, it says that in verse 4, it says, and in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. We were chosen in him, it says in another translation, to be holy and blameless in his sight. So from God's perspective, he's always seen us wrapped in Christ. And just as Jesus was a gift to the world, right? But it was a hidden gift, right? You couldn't look at Jesus and necessarily with your physical eyes recognize that he was the Son of God. In fact, the Spirit of God had to reveal that to Peter when Jesus was asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well, you are blessed, Peter, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which was in heaven. And so we have this treasure in earth and clay. Jesus until the Mount of Transfiguration, you could not see the extent of the glory that was contained in his human body in the incarnation. And that's true of us too. We cannot connect to spiritual reality with our physical senses. We cannot connect to spiritual reality through our emotions and through our soul and through our mind. We connect to spiritual reality through our spirit. And so in the same way we are tripart, and I'm not just saying that we can dissect our soul and our body and our spirit that way, but we truly are three in one, just like the Spirit of God and the Father and Holy Spirit are three in one. And all of this is a gift. And I think it's interesting about the term gift wrapped because, you know, you can't tell what the gift is when it's wrapped. You can only see the wrapping paper. You know that it's a gift, but you can't see the contents of the gift until you unwrap it. And so it's hidden, all right? This is a mystery. This is the mystery of the kingdom, that it is a hidden reality that exists in all of us. And so one aspect of this word for the month and being gift wrapped is simply this truth, that everything that heaven contains is hidden, but it is there. And it is a gift. It is a pure gift that has been lavished upon you through your association with Jesus. And your association with Jesus is also a gift. It's not earned by your good works or lost by your bad works. It is a gift. It is a sheer gift. But it is also hidden. Your identity in Christ, the new man, cannot be naturally discerned. In fact, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. The gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. And so it requires spiritual eyes. It requires another way of relating to reality. It requires the discernment of the Holy Spirit. It requires us to leave the realm of human judgment and human perception and information that is gleaned just by our physical experience, by our physical senses and from our minds, from our analytical reasoning minds, because our analytical reasoning minds doesn't connect to these realities. It's foolishness. It's hidden. We are blinded by the God of this world so that we cannot see heaven's reality. We cannot see ourselves through the lens that the Father views us, which is holy, blameless, and perfect in Christ. And so this gift, it must be discerned. What heaven contains must be discerned. It must be received as from our spiritual senses. It must be received from our union with Jesus. And so it is totally there. It is totally true. It is absolute reality. And everything that heaven contains is not only lavished on you, but it belongs to you. And it is an unseen reality that is designed to govern the heavens and the earth, right? Heaven itself, the unseen reality, is here to govern the heavens. It's here to govern our soul. It's here to take dominion over the realm of the where all of that warfare happens, right? Where it happens in our mind, it happens in our soul. Excuse me. But we are to govern the soulish realm, the heavenly realm. It's unseen, but it's still created. That quantum realm, it's unseen, but it's still created. And every realm is a higher realm, if you will, in the hierarchy of our governments, right? Our souls must be governed by the Spirit. And as we govern our souls, guess what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Beloved, I pray that you would be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. And so prosperity comes from the Spirit through the soul to the body. But understanding that this is a hidden reality that we must engage with and we must live from is a really important, powerful distinction, because we are going to experience things in the natural that must be governed. We are going to experience things in our soul that must be governed. And I'm not suggesting that we govern these things independent from God. In fact, the only way we can govern the soul and govern the body is through our union with Jesus and through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, which is where discernment comes from. And so fully depending upon Jesus, fully depending upon the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit as we walk through the natural is not not optional. We really have to live like an avatar, where our spirits are animating our souls, our spirits are animating our bodies, but we are connected to both heaven and the heavens and earth at the same time. That these all of these three realms are interrelated. They are not, you know, it's not like, you know, there's lines between the three. No, it is dimensional. But as we recognize the gift and the gifts that God has lavished upon us, well, we are empowered to dominate the seen realm from the spirit. And so the battle is always a battle between spiritual reality and natural reality. And then the forces in the unseen realm that we cannot discern with our physical eyes. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to understand the context of what we are going through. Okay, now I want to just stop here for a moment, because the real crux of this message comes from, that's kind of like an introduction in one of the scriptures that God gave me. The real crux of this message comes from a prophetic word that I recently ran, and I say a prophetic word, it's something that God spoke to me back in June of 2023. I don't think I've ever talked about it on the podcast, but I literally just kind of stumbled over this in the last week, and God has really been having me sit with it. And I was just journaling when I got this word, and apparently I was reading a book. And in the book, there was a statement that was made that I feel like is really common that Christians hear a lot. And it's this idea, and I'll just say it, that we are to seek God's presence, but not his presence. That seeking presence is wrong, that really what we should be doing is seeking God's presence. And I'm sure that the person, whoever is stating this, means like if you seek God's presence and you get his presence, like there's a whole teaching that I've heard around this. And probably if you've been a Christian for more than 5 minutes, then you have heard something like this too. Seek God's presence, not his presence. Well, when I woke up this morning with that phrase, gift wrapped, that word immediately came to mind. And so I'm just going to read it here. This is just literally straight from my journal, but I feel like it's really going to encourage you today, especially if you are facing something in the natural that is not your inheritance in Jesus. It's not what heaven contains. And, you know, as we walk through these battles, you know, it can get really confusing. My goodness, the circumstances can scream at you. And because we have a soul and we live in a body, I mean, our emotions many times are tied to what is going on in the natural. And so we can get really emotional. We can get weary. We can get tired in our physical bodies. I mean, I think there's a reason why Jesus was resting in the storm. I have to believe that he lived a pretty exhausting life in the natural, having to walk everywhere and people constantly pressing in upon him. And I just believe that, you know, he would get weary. I know that, you know, he would get away from everything sometimes to seek the Lord so that he could be strengthened in the spirit. I mean, it tells us in scripture that when he went through the wilderness and he didn't eat for 40 days, he was hungry, he was tired, he had a physical body. And then of course there was this onslaught from the enemy in the middle of that. And it says at the end of that kind of time of testing that the angels came and strengthened him. Well, there wouldn't have needed to be angels strengthening him if he had not gotten weary. Okay, that happened again in the garden. I mean, there was supernatural strength that Jesus needed because he grew weary. And so our physical bodies can grow weary. Our souls can, you know, we can faint in our minds. We can get exhausted. We can, the emotional strain of trials and tribulations that we go through can take a toll in our soul. But beloved, we are more than our soul, and we are more than our body. And so today I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to talk about how we walk through these things. And so it started off with this. It says, something feels off about what I'm reading. I said about seeking your presence versus your presence. But I'll ask, is this you speaking? And this is what I heard the Father say. He said, no, Shalice, it's not me speaking. Anything that makes you feel like you're doing something wrong in our relationship, or makes you feel like you need to do something to please me or appease me or get me to move on your behalf, is off. He says it's steeped in separation, right? It's steeped in the illusion of separation from me, okay? Which is the only problem anyone ever has. Let me stop and say this again. It's steeped in separation, which is the only problem anyone ever has. And I just want to say that the goal of every test that the enemy brings our way, the goal of every trial and tribulation and contradiction is always to make us feel isolated, to make us feel alone, and for us to fall back into a separated mindset, for us to fall back into the illusion of an identity that is separate from God. And I kind of say it this way. It's like we feel like we're down here, you know, in the natural realm and that God's way up here in heaven. And somehow those two are disconnected, rather than God being in our bodies down here in the natural and us being here with him seated in heavenly places. And so let me just keep reading. It says it's steeped in separation, which is the only problem anyone ever has. And the reason it's a problem is because when you are deceived into thinking that you're separate, well, then you are disconnected from the voice of God. You are disconnected from the wisdom of God and from the strategy of God. And you are blinded to what is actually going on in the heavens. You are blinded to whatever battle you are truly facing. And so it is the cause of weariness. It is the cause of our minds, fainting, because we are under this illusion of separation. And so here's what it says. It says, I am asking you for your focus. We are one. I am asking you to yield your will to mine and trust me. I'm going to read that again. I'm asking you to yield your will to mine and to trust me. I am asking you to submit your will to mine and to resist the enemy. And I want to say resist the temptation of separation, to resist the temptation to believe that the natural circumstances are more powerful than you and Jesus when you're operating as one. It says, I am asking you to submit your will to mine and resist the enemy, right? This is exactly what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he just said, nevertheless, your will be done, but mine, right? So there's a place of submission. There's a place of yielding in the place where you are being tempted and you are being tried to look at something from an independent, separated mindset. And so it says, the pressure to bow to the circumstances and get your eyes off of me is intense. It says, when you are walking on the water in the middle of a storm, I know you want immediate relief. I know that you want a storm-free life, but I am teaching you to trust me in the middle of a storm, to follow me through whatever wilderness you may find yourself in, to trust me to provide whatever you need when it looks like I'm not, to not be defined. I'm asking you to not allow yourself to not be defined by anything external, to speak life when it looks like death is closing in. He says, you may feel like you're crazy, but you're not. You're just under attack. And this trial is not from me. It is from the enemy. There is resistance to the call of God on your life. There is resistance to the advancement of my kingdom. There is resistance to the glorious future I have planned for you. It is a fight for your focus. It is a fight for your attention, so that you will not give your full attention to me and what I am doing right now. Now, I'm going to stop here for a moment, because now I want to go into the scripture that really I feel like is the crux of what I want to share today. And it's over in James chapter 1. And I have, you guys, been sitting in this little scripture from James really for about 3 months. I mean, I have just walked through really an impossible situation as it relates to where I live and the house that I live in. For those of you that don't know, we were called back to move to Chicago 3 years ago. And when we left Colorado, we gave everything away. And we moved to Colorado into a house that we knew that God had provided. And it was fully furnished. It was a dream. In fact, when you walked into the house, it looked like a Pinterest board that I had been putting together for years. It was furnished with things that I would have personally picked. And it is not a house that in the natural we were going to be able to buy. It was not, it was a 1 year arrangement. We were going to live here for a year. We were going to rent for a year. And then, you know, I didn't really have a plan B. I mean, I've been talking about no plan B. Well, I mean, I haven't had a plan B since 2004, but I did not have a plan B. I was just, following God step by step back here to Chicago. And, you know, no soldier goes to war at their own expense. And so obviously we need a place to live if we're going to minister and we're going to follow God. And for those of you who don't know, I mean, we have been wandering around house to house, renting when we were in Colorado before we left Chicago to go to Colorado. Since I sold my condo when I left my corporate job back in 2004. So here we are 20 years later. And, you know, we still didn't have really what I felt was the house that God had provided for us as a home. Just following God step by step. And every home we lived in, God placed us in. I mean, even the street names are prophetic. In fact, this house is on Grace Avenue. I mean, that's no coincidence, right? But, you know, after that first year of renting, well, then, the people that own the house said we were going to sell the house. And at the time, we were not in a financial position to purchase the house. And somehow God made a way for us to actually purchase the home directly from the seller without a down payment and literally just continue to live in the house with the seller holding the mortgage. And so we were going to do that for a year. Well, we came to the end of that year and we still weren't in the position to buy the house. And the seller was really not wanting to do it. They wanted to sell the house. They bought another house in Florida. They wanted to get out of this property. And yet again, miraculously, they said, okay, we'll do it for another year. And so now we've rented for a year. We've lived in it as a seller financed mortgage arrangement for 2 years. And that arrangement was scheduled to end on August 1st, meaning that we either had to buy the house by August 1st or we were going to have to move. Now, granted, remember, we gave everything away. I mean, we have a few things around here. Like I have silverware. I bought some additional dishes. We had some towels, but I mean, we're talking beach towels. I mean, everything in the house, it was literally like an Airbnb. But I can tell you coming into 2024, we were still in the natural, not in a position to be able to get the house. So starting in about March, I started walking through a supernatural process with God to be able to buy this house. And I will tell you, it is the most supernatural thing that I have ever, it's the most intense battle that I have been through truly in my walk with God when there was no plan B, no other way out. And walking through this process with God with miracle after miracle after miracle, I can tell you there were days when there was no way. There was no way in the natural, but I would hear an instruction from the Holy Spirit and I would follow that instruction. And I probably had to do that. I mean, we're talking like 8 times, 9 times, 10 times where we got to the place that if God did not show up, it was not going to happen. And God was asking me to stand. And he's been asking me to stand for this house since we moved here three years ago. But beloved, I'm telling you from my perspective, walking through this, when there was no way in the natural that this was going to have to be God and only God since February, I mean, really for 3 years, but really starting the process in February, I mean, we had to do all kinds of things. I mean, we had to get our credit scores up to a certain point to even be able to apply for a mortgage that's at the level of this house. I mean, there was a lot of requirements that we did not meet in the natural. In fact, very few, if any, of the requirements we met in the natural. I mean, if you are a self-employed person like we are, you know, we don't have jobs outside of the ministry. I mean, it's a different thing to qualify for a mortgage, especially a jumbo mortgage. And so I'm sharing that because since February, this has been, in my estimation, probably the most internal stress, not only emotionally, but also even physically. Like there was a lot of things that were coming up for me personally that I would have rather not had to face. And most of it was around, just a lot of trauma in my life and really even what the meaning of home is. I mean, so I was having to confront not only the natural circumstances, but truly a level of subconscious unbelief and distrust in God that I did not even recognize that was there. And the truth is, if the pressure had not been applied strategically the way that it was, it's almost like the enemy or whatever, you know, whatever it is, just knows exactly how to bring you to your breaking point. And I can tell you, this was a daily trust. I mean, every day I'm submitting things and waiting 2 days, waiting 3 days for a response. And is it a yes? Is it a no? And we're talking for months. I would get these responses back. That is, you know, it's a no, you need XXX, you need it. And so it was like, I was just on high alert all the time from February. And during that time, the Lord led me, and I'm going to get to how this is gift wrapped, okay? Led me to really dive into James chapter 1. And James chapter 1 is not necessarily a scripture that any of us are excited to dive into. But I'm going to read it specifically from the Message translation because I think it's the Message translation. Let me just see. That's the Passion. Let me go to the Message. Yeah, the Message translation, because this is really where the Lord took me. I'm going to read in a couple of different verses, but let me start with it. Okay. It says in James 1 chapter 2, it says this: consider it sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Doesn't that just make you want to just, like, when you're in those situations, you just want to be like, bleh? I mean, that's how I felt, okay? I mean, when I first started reading these scriptures, I was just like, oh, barf. Don't try to get out of this prematurely, because I wanted it to end. The pressure was intense. And it says, let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Verse 5, it says, if you don't know what you're doing, and I'll tell you, I did not know what I was doing. Pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought, meaning say, help, Papa, help, Daddy. It says, people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. You know, it's really interesting, right? I did a whole series called Going All In. And I still might be in the middle of that, right? I can't even remember right this minute. But the point is that was coming out of having no plan B. It was coming out of, like, if God doesn't show up in this situation, well, we're going to be homeless. If God doesn't, I mean, I'm sure, obviously, we could have, I mean, could have there been a plan B? Could I figured out a plan B? Would we have literally been homeless? Probably not. But tell that to my little inner child inside. Tell that to, you know, my kids who have rooms and school and, you know, uprooting our whole life, disrupting. I mean, this house is not just our home. It's where I do my podcast. I do live events here every single month, Emerge graduations. Like, it's our ministry headquarters. And so it would have been a massive disruption in our life. So I just was determined not to have any other option, not to have a plan B except what God had promised. And by the way, this is a promise that to have a home that God had given me way back in 2004, well before I started having babies, because he said he made the barren woman to be the joyful mother of children and keep house. And I had to stand for my babies. Talk about a battle. Like, for that scripture, for that promise to come true in my life, I mean, I had serial miscarriages before I had a child. And just that battle to believe the gospel, to believe that God is good, that to believe that his word is true, to believe that Jesus accomplished what he said he accomplished, that barrenness is illegal, that childlessness is part of the curse that Jesus became, like, that was a battle. So this was like the fulfillment of a 20-year promise to me. And which, by the way, it's all done. I'm super excited and it's incredible, but I'm also a little exhausted, frankly, from standing and showing up every single day, you know, to continue to do what I'm called to do underneath all of that pressure. But now let me just teach on it here for a few minutes, because it says that we are to consider, I am to consider that experience. And granted, whatever, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, 8 months, okay? The 8-month experience, now 3 years, really, okay? But 8 months intensely, I am to consider that trial, that tribulation that I walked through as a sheer gift. And guys, I can tell you that most days it did not feel in my emotions. It did not feel in my body as a gift. But I went and looked up the word sheer, because I wanted to know, what does it mean to consider it a sheer gift? It means nothing other than, unmitigated. It is an utter gift, complete gift, absolute gift, total gift, pure gift, perfect gift, out and aft gift, thorough gift, surpassing gift, unadulterated gift, an unmixed gift, a proper gift. I mean, I just went in and it's like, it is just sheer gift. It is nothing but a gift. It is not, it is to be considered that this is a gift. And I can tell you that I have walked through this and I'm still processing everything, because it just, you know, we just finalized last week and then the thing funded yesterday. So I'm still kind of unpacking everything that God did in me through this 8 months. But this scripture, I was in a lot because I knew that there was something in it for me. You know, what the enemy means for harm, God uses. He's not the author of the thing, but he absolutely turns it towards our advantage and he uses it for our good. And he strengthens us and he matures us through the trial and the tribulation. I mean, I remember one time, the last miscarriage that I had, I had through that process over my of my life, having three miscarriages. I remember at that very last one, just being out of my mind in the spirit. Like I was not being affected by the grief that would normally accompany that situation. In fact, I felt like I was crazy. I remember the Holy Spirit. I mean, like I was just full of joy. And I gained this eternal reality in the midst of that trial. It's like I got a revelation of eternity and how long eternity is and how short most of our lifespans are in light of eternity and how long I was going to be with my babies. And it doesn't make sense in the natural because spiritual things don't make sense in the natural. But internally, I was experiencing the joy of eternity with my babies. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. Like it just was so real to me. It was more real than the temporal suffering that I was going through. And I'm totally not trying to be insensitive to anyone that's going through this because I'd gone through it. I mean, I was devastated. Especially the miscarriage that I had right before Lily, like I was devastated. But I also can tell you that God really ministered to me through that about idols and about that God wanted me to have a child, but it was not to be my source. That being a mother was a part of my identity, but it was not not to have a place in my heart that was higher than God. And that was a hard lesson. I did not like to confront those things and have to actually get my relationship with motherhood in alignment with my relationship with sonship and my relationship with being the bride of Jesus and ultimately Jesus being the source of all satisfaction, true satisfaction in my life. Like that was a really, really deep lesson. And, you know, but by this last time, God took me over to Philippians and, you know, it was like Paul wrote this in jail and he's like saying, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in the middle of jail, of being imprisoned. And he actually had a perspective on imprisonment that was positive. Like, hey, it's for your good that I'm here. The gospel's expanding because I'm here. Like this is working for the expansion of the gospel. And he was joyful about it in horrible conditions. And I just think to myself, you know, like that is not natural. And what was going on with me was not natural. And I can tell you that there is something supernatural. There is a context. There is a perspective that we can have in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of trials that is not of this world. And the Spirit of God and the revelation that is available to us when we are under pressure and we are under these things is very, very unique. It's something that you don't get without that trial and tribulation. And God is not the author of it, but he is absolutely engaged in it for our good, and he will use it to transform us and bring us into a greater level of sonship, a greater level of joy, a greater level of mastery over ourselves, over the seen realm, and give the victory to us through the process that's happening internally and what's getting exposed in us as we walk through it. So there is a gift. It's gift wrapped. Okay, the trial and the tribulation is gift wrap. There are gifts in it that if we can surrender our will and surrender to God in the midst of it and ask for his wisdom and ask for his context and ask for his perspective, that he will absolutely guide you through so that you not only have the victory in the natural, which absolutely, I have the victory in the natural today. This is a powerful celebration time of a victory in the natural. But it is not just a celebration time of the victory in the natural. It is a celebration of what God has done in me through the process. Hey, and that is priceless. It is priceless. And again, I'm still unpacking it all. In fact, again, I didn't even plan on teaching on this today. I didn't plan on sharing this as the word of the month for September. But God, even through this, is continuing to unpack what has been developed in me and what is he's preparing us for giants, you guys. The giant that you're in, yes, but also for victory upon victory upon victory upon victory. And so I wanted to go in here and read this in the Amplified Classic Version, because what are the gifts? And again, these are not gifts that we think we get excited about. Like, this is not, you know, whoa, you got a new car. The price is right. You won the grand prize. Like, it doesn't excite us necessarily in the flesh part of us and the natural part of us. But these are powerful gifts that cause us to triumph and cause us to be able to release and expand the kingdom and finish our course and glorify Jesus in ways that without these gifts, we would never be able to do. And so it says this in the Amplified Classic Version. It says, "Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith bring out," and here's the gift, "endurance, steadfastness, and patience." Okay? Endurance, steadfastness, and patience. So what is endurance? Okay? Let's talk about what endurance is for a moment. I actually ran a marathon many, many, many years ago. And I can tell you, the longest that I had really ever run before that was probably 3 miles. And it had been years, years before that when I started training for that marathon. I mean, I could not run a mile when I started training for that marathon. I started out walking and running a mile. Okay. A marathon is 26.2 miles. It like impossible in the natural. I mean, really, like it was not even my idea to do it. It just seemed crazy for me to be able to do it. But guess what? We would do 2 shorter runs during the week and a longer run on Saturday. And over the course, I think I trained for it. It wasn't that long, maybe 3 months, maybe 4 months that we trained for it. But it was crazy what my human body was able to do. Pretty soon, I'm not only running a mile, but then next thing you know, I'm running 2 miles. Well, pretty soon, the short runs were going to be 5 miles 2 times a week. And then it was going to be long runs, which got up into the 20s before we ran that marathon. And I'll tell you what I found in doing that is that when you develop endurance, okay, you are running your 10th mile without being out of breath. You are running your 10th mile strong. I remember we ran 2 half marathons when I was training for the full marathon. And I loved half marathons. I was running further than a half marathon at the time. I was running further than 13 miles or whatever it is. But I could run the 13 miles without weariness. I could literally finish strong 13 miles because I wasn't training for 13 miles. I was training for 26. And so half was like a walk in the park. It was literally not difficult. Why? Because I had developed endurance. And so I could run. I mean, I was running like quick. I don't remember my time, but it was good. It was a really good mile. And I started in a place where I had zero endurance. I could not even run a single mile. And so I'm sharing that because in the human ability, this is just, I mean, now granted, I did it with the Holy Spirit. There were lots of supernatural things that happened during that time for me because I really did run it supernaturally. I ran it through, I had encounters with God while I was running. It was really supernatural. But the point is, endurance is a very, very powerful thing for us to have in our lives. It makes things easy that for other people are impossible. And it is a quality that God is saying is necessary for Christian life. And nobody really likes to hear talks about this. I mean, nobody wants to hear about an endurance when you can't run a mile. Like, nobody wants to think, well, my goal is like, that's so far away. Like, that's impossible. I can't do that. You know, I mean, it is to our flesh. We're like, bleh, you know, but the truth is endurance is so, so powerful. And now that I'm sitting in it, The last 8 months have been about endurance. They have been about being able to sit under pressure that would cause most people to buckle. And again, that may not be your thing, you know, but not having a plan B and doing a lot of the things that I've called to do. A lot of people don't have the ability to do those things. But I'm telling you, it has been qualities that have, by the grace of God, that he's been developing in my life. Okay, let's talk about the next one, steadfastness. What does that mean? Well, it means to remain steady when all hell is breaking loose. It means that you're not moved by the winds and the waves. It means that you are unmovable, right? It means that you are in balance, even in a place where you should be knocked over, that you are steady, that you are immovable, right? You're like a tree that is not moved in the storm. You stand, and having done all, you stand. You are steady. You are stable. You are balanced. You are predictable. Okay, you are the same regardless. You are not controlled. You are not controlled by external things, other people, circumstances. No, you are steady. You are reliable. You are dependable. And this, you guys, is a trait of Jesus. Jesus endured the cross, despised the shame, looked away for the joy that was set before him. He was able to endure I don't even know how he did it. Sweating blood to the extent of that endurance caused him to have the victory. And guess what? If that's the image that we're being conformed into, well, steadfastness and endurance is qualities that should be seen in our life, not because of our human capability, but a supernatural endurance, a supernatural steadfast. And what God is saying here is that trials and tribulations develop this in our life. And I didn't like it. I would love to say relief is what I wanted. I wanted relief. I wanted relief. I wanted relief. I mean, I have done more scooter rides in the last 8 months than I've done probably my entire life. Why? Because my scooter rides was how I would get out of my house and get just pray in the spirit, worship, listen to God, go and journal. Like I'd go sit in the park and I would journal and I would, you know, just staying, doing everything possible just to stand, and having done all, stand. And I did not do it perfectly, you guys. I tell people this was as much mercy as it was faith. I mean, this is not something I can look at and be like, oh, Shalise was so holy and so perfect in this. No, but God, I mean, there were days when he said, you know what? God will not tempt you beyond. I mean, God will not allow a temptation to come upon you that is more than what you can handle. And I mean, I argued with God. This is more than I can handle, right? My body is freaking out. My fight or flight system is on overdrive. Like this, my level of lack of safety in this, given my trauma and my background, is like I'm hitting the limit here. But God said he was the way of escape, and God did lead me through it all the way to victory. And in the process, developed endurance and steadfastness. Now this last one, patience. Oh my gosh, who wants to develop patience? You know, we hear, oh, don't pray for patience. You know, but the truth is, in the natural, I'm not necessarily a really patient person. Especially when you're getting triggered every day, you know? I mean, like the real master stronghold that God's been working on me for a really, really long time is this reaction to things that are going on that in my internal world do not feel safe. You know, as someone who has survived abuse and I'm adopted, you know what I'm saying? Like there's a lot of things that have gone on in my life that taught me I'm not safe. The world is not safe. In fact, in some level, it's not safe to be me. And so there were things coming up in this place where I was perceiving a lack of safety that I'm just like, oh my goodness, I can't handle this anymore. But there was a patience. I mean, it was forced patience. Days I'd be sitting waiting for responses. After having a no, days I'd be sitting. And it's like, it was just intense. It was just for me personally, it was intense. But however it happened, patience was being developed. And patience, let me tell you, who's really impatient? The enemy. The enemy's really impatient. And patience is one of these things, like, you know, at one point, I don't remember when it was, but it was just like, God, just do what you want to do in me. I just surrendered. I was just like, your will. I resist everything that's not your will. And he would say, stand, trust me. And he would always provide a strategy, always let me know what the next step was. And it wasn't easy, but there was a patience that was developed in me as I walked through that. And I'm so happy to be able to share this testimony with you guys today. I mean, because I've been walking this out for a while. And what I'm saying here is that when God woke me up this morning and said, gift wrap, see what, you know what, the beautiful thing about the things that we go through is that on the other side of that, you know, even when Peter, you know, denied Jesus three times, he said, when you have, you know, I prayed for you, Peter, and when you have turned, strengthened your brethren. So the great thing about the trials and the tribulations that we go through is that not only is there a victory for us, but there's also an opportunity for us to strengthen our brethren and actually share our experiences with others to strengthen them when they may find themselves in a similar situation. And so this sheer gift that comes to us in the middle of trials and tribulations and contradictions are these qualities that conform us more to the image of God. It's working for our good. God said he works all things together for our good. And these are things that are working in us in the midst of these things. And so when we have a shift of perspective, and I was a forced shift for me. Like I was forced into these scriptures and be like, what are you doing, God? I say that I want to be on your agenda and I do want to be on your agenda. So tell me, what are you doing? What are you asking me to cooperate with? What are you asking me to submit to? It says here that when we endurance, steadfastness, and patience have full play, endure through a work, it says that you will be a people perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing. Let me just go back to the Message translation. It says, let it do it work in you so that you become mature, well-developed, not deficient in any way. In the Passion translation, it says, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it releases perfection until every part of your, into every part of your being, until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. So there is a wholeness that gets released in this, in these situations that is a gift. It is a gift. And he says, count it all gift, count it all gift. And so the revelation that I have, even to be able to share this with you, has come through something that I personally have just walked through. Now, I'm going to go back over as we wrap up here. I'm a little bit over time here, but I'm going to wrap up here because I'm going to go back now and talk about the gift of pressure and the gift of this, because I'm just going to read it again. It says, anything that makes you feel like you're doing something wrong in our relationship or makes you feel like you need to do something to please me or appease me to get me to move on your behalf is off. It's steeped in separation, which is the only problem anyone has. He says, I'm asking for your focus. We are one. I'm asking you to yield your will to mine and trust me. I'm asking you to submit your will to mine and resist the enemy and he will flee. And so the key here is to know, what am I submitting to and what am I resisting? Okay, I was submitting to the goodness of God. I was submitting to the faithfulness of God. I was submitting to the promise of God, who said he would be, make me the joyful mother of children and keep house. I was submitting to his role as a provider. I was submitting to the goodness of God and to being able to trust in that no matter what it looked like. And I was resisting the natural circumstances. I was resisting anything that was exalting itself against anything except the promise coming true. I was resisting the temptation and the urge to faint, to give up, to say, this is too hard. Oh man, screw it. It's just a house. Let's just go somewhere else. Dear Lord, I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to give another thing to this morning. Trust me, I got there on multiple occasions. But then I would come back around, right? And why? Because my focus would get off of Jesus. It would get off of the Father. It would get off of, what is he saying? What is he speaking? And goodness, I employed everything that you could think in the book. I was laughing in the spirit. I was dancing in the spirit. I was praying in the spirit. I was taking naps. I was meditating. I mean, every single thing to keep my mind right? All kinds of things. But the point is, why? Because it was all about my focus and the pressure to bow to the circumstances and get my eyes off of Jesus. And that's what he says. In the storm, the pressure is intense. But when you are walking on the water in the midst of the storm, he says this, I know you want immediate relief. I know you want a storm-free life, but I am teaching you in the midst of the storm. And he told me one time many years ago, I'm training you in the storm. I'm training you in the storm. And he gave me all these pictures about Navy SEALs. And I'm just like, I don't want to be a Navy SEAL. I just want to be a baby. I just want a little baby girl. I don't want to be a Navy SEAL. I just want to be a baby girl. I just want to have everything taken care of. I just want to be taken care of. I just want to suckle your mini, you know, you're the mini breasted one. I just want baby, you know? Hey, whoa. But he was training me in the storm. And he said, I know you want a storm-free life, but I'm teaching you to trust me in the middle of the storm, to follow me through whatever wilderness you find yourself in, and to trust me when it, to provide when it looks like I'm not, to not be defined by anything external, to speak life when it looks like death is closing in. And then you just made me clear, you're not crazy, because you feel like you're going crazy, you're under attack. And so what do I want to say? I want to say that this is not about what I've done. This is about what Jesus is doing and has been doing in your life and in my life as we walk through the pressure of the things that we go through, whether that is a relational failure, whether that is no matter what it is, whatever battle we may find ourselves in, whatever is triggering us, whatever areas of our lives where we are being brought to the end of ourselves, and the goodness of God and the mercy of God is something that we need to believe in and trust in when there's no evidence for it in the natural. And so as I wrap today, I just want to share that again, what God is speaking through all of this is there is a gift. There is a gift. And these gifts from God are always discerned, right? They're wrapped up. You can't see the gift until you unwrap it. And so the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom has to help you. Like, you, this is not something we are doing in our own strength apart from God. This is something that we are doing with God. We are being led by the Spirit. We are hearing and we are doing. And it's not always easy in our soul. It's not always easy in our flesh. Jesus struggled with this himself, you guys. But God is faithful. God is who he says he is. He's not a man that he should lie. The gospel is true. And we are more powerful than we have believed. And God is more good than we have believed. And so I just want to encourage you that every battle ultimately is the battle for separation. It is the battle for intimacy. And God has the strategy. God has the wisdom. God has the grace. God has whatever it is that you need. He knows everything. He sees everything. Oh my gosh, if I went through my journals for the last 8 months, most of them start with, God, you see it all. You know everything. Tell me what to do. Like, I wrote that over and over and over and over and over again over the last 8 months. You see everything. You know everything. Many times I'd share, this is what's happening internally with me. I really don't like it. Help. Tell me what to do. And over again, God came through. God came through. God came through. Now, I did not do it perfectly because I'm not perfect apart from Christ. And whenever we're training or we're learning something new, it's not about doing it perfect. It's just about not quitting. It's just about not quitting. And so, gift wrapped. That is the word of the month for September. And I pray that this will be a teaching that you will come back to again and again whenever you need to be strengthened, whenever you need to be reminded that God is more powerful than what you face, and that God is faithful, and that he has the grace, he has the wisdom that you need, and that he has, you are not alone, that you are one with him in the midst of whatever it looks like, and that every accusation against him and every accusation against you is absolutely a lie, that he is good, you are righteous, you are holy, and it's not, it's all gift. It's all gift. Your new identity is a gift. What belongs to you in Christ is a gift. Every promise of God is a gift. And frankly, every trial and tribulation that we go through is a gift. And we are to trust that God is doing something greater than what we can discern, and that as we yield to him and submit to him and resist the temptation to accuse him, to accuse ourselves, to accuse the circumstances as greater than something that Jesus has already defeated, that as we resist those things, that guess what? The seen realm will conform to the image of God. We will be conformed to the image of God, and we will have the victory. We will have the victory. Frankly, even in defeat, we have the victory. And God has a perspective, a higher perspective for us as we walk through things. And if we will ask for wisdom, he will give it to us, and we won't get in trouble for asking. But ask in faith, trusting that he's good, trusting that he knows the situation. I mean, I didn't even have to explain it. I'd just be like, thank God you know everything. I don't even know everything, but you see it all. He would give me prayer strategies. He would give me, I mean, just everything, everything. And many of the visions and the encounters that I had, I'm going to be unpacking. I'm going to be unpacking for a while. So I love you. God bless you. And stay in it. Stay in it. Ask for grace. Ask for mercy. Just say, I know you're good. I know you're good. And I know you know what to do. So tell me what to do. And whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. And I yield. I yield. My life is not my own. I surrender to you. And through you, we will have the victory. So God bless you guys. I pray that this word blesses you, and we'll see you next week back on the regular podcast schedule. All right. Talk to you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.